Cause I'm an island boy, and I've been trying to make. Oh, I'm an island boy. I'm a just island boy. I'ma get key white wine. You're gonna keep that gun. I'll be just staring at the sun. I'm just out full gazing. I'm like, pull where I'm staying. They're like, you wanna be famous. I'm gonna be out with all graders. I'm on the Florida boy.
Wow. Thank you to the Island Boys for that sweet serenading, beautiful intro to introduce our fourth episode of Overheard at Kelly's. Proud to be joined by Evan Jackson tonight. Evan, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Really happy to hear such a beautiful song lead us into what's hopefully going to be a great podcast. I don't know if it's too early in October to declare summer, but I think we might be witnessing that right here
with the Island Boys. I think it's totally fair, just a song that unites a nation in tumultuous times. So to hear something like that, it's something beautiful and hopefully helps us finish off the year strong. And I'll be remiss to not thank our podcast allies, Overheard at the Ashford, for filling in the dead air last week. It was a fascinating listen, and I really thought they went about securing their guests in an totally ethical way. So I appreciate that and just thank them for providing content in a much needed time. Evan, any comments on that situation?
I would say it's just great to see that journalistic integrity hasn't died in 2021. I think the way they went about it was graceful and respectful. And I think they put out a good piece of content and, you know, hats off to them. They've been talking about it for a while. So I'm glad they finally did it. They finally pursued a dream that they've had, and I thought it was a good listen.
I agree. They were all bark, no bite for quite some time, and I was happy to see they got finally a little nibble. So good for them. We've got an exciting show planned tonight. Evan, I know you have the scoreboard up on your end. You want to let's run through last week's results and what Michael Howe called separation week.
Yeah, Mike has a lot of really great one-liners when it comes to fantasy football. I remember during the draft this year, I think once it got past like round 8 or 9, he just goes, "Now it's choose your own adventure." So he's got some good quips, good personality. But all right, yeah, we'll start, I guess, because it's my matchup. I think it's always at the top. So we could start with my win over Chris. This game was really, or this matchup was really about the trade that, I think I'm comfortable enough to disclose the details of a trade Chris sent me, Travis Kelce for, Swift and Gesicki, which I think if I had made that trade, he might have won. Depends on who he would have replaced as his running backs, but, it was a good no trade by me. And a good win for my team. I had a lot of waiver wire ads, and I ended up pretty much just getting lucky just lucky that I picked the right ones for once. And pretty much everybody on my team had a good week. And I think this was my highest scoring week too. So it was definitely a good one for me. And for Chris, this was a tough one to lose. I thought after the Thursday night game with D'Ernest Johnson, who was getting a little bit slanderized in the chat leading up to that game, he gave him a really strong performance, and I thought that might spell doom for me, but the rest of my team responded. And I think if you're Chris right now, he's probably really hurting for a running back, and he's very, very, very willing to make a trade. So I'm very interested to watch what Chris does the rest of the week and in terms of trades and stove talks. But as in terms of the matchup, it wasn't really that close.
Yeah, and I was actually trying to secure a guest for the podcast tonight, and this anonymous source texted me verbatim, "If you do pod, please mention the fact that I've tried to trade Josh Jacobs and Mike Williams to B *S 3 times now, and he thinks about it, declines, and then puts up 8 points and loses." And clown emoji, so it's tough. I present that with no feeling one way or the other, but Chris has some enemies in the league at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know, because Chris seems – my trade talks with him have been very constructive, very respectful. We just haven't been able to get it done just due to differences of opinions on both sides at various times, because I think him and I have entered discussions a few times this year, and we were always close but just could never get there. So it's interesting to me that he's rubbed one member of the league. So – or if of course, that member was talking about Chris, I don't know who else see triple asterisk S could be, but could be anybody.
It could be anybody.
But if it is him, it's a little unfortunate to see he's rubbed some members of the league the wrong way, but I could definitely see their point.
It's totally fair.
And the numbers don't lie, so.
The numbers don't lie. 2-5 is – it's a challenging place to be, but we'll talk about that later. Do you have the next matchup on the scoreboard?
Yeah, so up next is Brendan Smith and Matt Walsh, a team most foul.
I mean, I think when you're hot, you're hot, and Walsh is hot right now. He didn't put up the biggest point total this past week, but like I said, if your team is riding some momentum, he got the job done with just 104 points in a close win. So not too much from the analysis standpoint, but I think Walsh is just riding the good wave right now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a great win for him. Winning is infectious. So when you have that type of virus in the clubhouse, it's the best one to have. So I think his players knew what was expected of them, and they were able to show up. And at the end of the day, all you have to do is score more points than the opponent. And he's accomplished that more than anybody else this year. I mean, he only had 1 point from his bench, which is nuts. And what's crazy is that for Walsh, he's already has the best record, and he's starting to gain a little bit of separation. And now he's already gotten through his bye apocalypse with a win. So it's never going to get worse than that for him in terms of bye weeks. He's pretty much going to – I mean, he had James Robinson, Thielen, and Mike Williams on a bye. So those are three of his strongest producers this season. And now he's got them for the rest of the year, and he didn't even lose on the week that of their bye. So I think that couldn't have worked out any better for him. And for B. Smith, he did have his own troubles. You know, he had Eckler and Amari Cooper on a bye. He had Nick Chubb hurt, Michael Thomas not back yet. So he was dealing with some personnel issues, but unfortunately for him, he just came up a little short. It was a very close game.
Now, on the topic of separation week, this could be a hot take, but with Walsh now separating himself from the pack, does he now become America's team for the KKC? Because in essence, any team he beats falls down below, closer to the field, because if he's on track to be the number one seed, if he keeps winning, he'll stay that way. But he can only help every other member, essentially, by continuing to win. I don't know if that's a totally fully baked thought, but just came to me just now.
I don't know. It's tough to say because, you know, when the Patriots were in their years of dominance, I don't think anybody was really ever rooting for them. However, this is a different league. And I do think that, you know, I mean, I'm playing him this week, this upcoming week, so I will not be rooting for Walsh, unfortunately. But the rest of the league might. And that is a valid point because at this stage, I don't think he's really catchable for most of the teams. I mean, I think Mike is 5-2, so he's right behind them. But for everybody else, he's starting to really pull ahead. And like I said, with his bye weeks out of the way, he's only going to go from strength to strength, barring any injuries. So, yeah, I do think that on a week-to-week basis, you will have most of the league rooting for Walsh because that won't really affect them in terms of buys or top two seeding. But he could have a huge part to play in the playoff race. So I think it's a very astute observation.
Yeah, I think as long as you're not the team that's directly facing him, it's in your best interest. At this point, with him in the first seed, to root for him in a way.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, for Walsh, his team, I want to say at the end of the draft, him and Chris had maybe the most were getting flamed the most for their draft. I don't think people were high on either of them because they both ironically took pass catching Chiefs earlier than expected. I know Walsh took Tyreek very early in the draft. But I mean, outside of Tyreek, who's been great, he basically hit on every other draft pick he had. And if you look at, you know, his core producers, Brady was drafted late. James Robinson was drafted late. Thielen was drafted relatively late for his output. Mike Williams was probably the best pick of the entire draft this year. I mean, he went into this bye week, I think, as one of the top three wide receivers, and he was like an 11th round pick, 9th round pick. So to get that kind of production from spots that you don't normally see, and then to hit on your first round pick where a lot of other teams have had injuries, it's been a great year for Walsh, and I think moving forward he'll continue that.
I mean, Khalif Raymond with 17 points is just
when you're hot, you're hot. I don't know.
It's crazy. All right, next matchup. What we got?
So we have your matchup. So this was a nail biter. For gang shit, that's all we on. And the thing about the old days.
Oh, man. I mean, after Sunday, I had fully accepted that I had lost, but I had a glass half full approach just because I feel like my team is starting to trend. I had some buys this week, some injuries. Haven't had, I mean, to have four total running back 2 points through how many? This is through 7 weeks of the fantasy season is impossible, really. But I feel like I've sustained that and survived. 3-4, that's a record you can work with. And I feel like I have a team that can hopefully make some noise moving forward. But, I mean, to have Alvin put up 33 points in a 13-10 win, that's an all-time gritty performance and one that I will be forever thankful for.
Yeah, I mean, I thought when going into Monday night, I did send a message of hope where, you know, I really thought that wasn't like, you might win. Like when I did with Jack and then Mark Andrews had 41 points. I really thought that, you know, you could be in a little bit of a position there. And I mean, Kamara, that trade already paying massive, massive dividends. But I will, your losses have been historically bad.
Historically.
So if you could button that up, and I don't know really where you're – oh, I guess moving forward, hopefully, I mean, if next week the trend continues, then that's real bad because that means Ezekiel Elliott probably died. but I think moving forward, yeah, your team's in a great, great position. Jalen Waddle's been pretty, pretty consistent. Antonio Brown has also been like a really, really good value draft pick. Brandon Cooks has been good, although he didn't have the best score this week. But, yeah, I mean, your team really just gritted it out. And I think Joe Burrow has been low-key a really great replacement for Russell Wilson. In fact, I would almost say even when Russell Wilson comes back, you might want to keep Burrow the way he's playing with Jamar Chase. It's pretty insane. And then for Morin, that's a tough, tough loss. I think when you look at your roster and you see that 0 point effort out of your RB2, I think usually opposing teams are licking their chops, expecting a win. And then for more not to get it, that's pretty difficult. And I will say, I think there's been like three or four instances where somebody's running back has either gotten hurt or put up 0 points, and that team ended up winning. I know you beat me when your running back had 0 points. I want to say it was like David Johnson. And then I beat EY when Saquon had 0 points. And did Jake beat Morin when Dalvin Cook, he forgot to set his lineup when he boarded the plane or forgot to take him out? I don't know if he ended up winning that game or not. But, I mean, that's four off the top of my head. So there have been a lot. It's been a weird season in that respect. But,
yeah, I mean, just – I hate to harp on it, but the kickers, I don't know. It's such a tough thing. Like, it's great because it is such a wild card and it's great content, but I don't know. I mean, I definitely have recency bias with McManus putting up just 2 points, but I'm not sure. I go back and forth, but I feel like the league could be in a better place with an extra flex.
I just don't know because I feel like already look at the benches now. It's so bare. I feel like that would be tough because it's a bigger league. But then also, I just love that element like of unexpectedness from kickers. And I will say that Brandon McManus, the weather reports were pretty brutal coming out of, I think they played in Cleveland that night.
That's true.
So, I mean, maybe not, you know, looking at the weather app could help. I mean, I've historically been pretty good with kickers. I usually just look at the point totals, go from there. So I like them. I haven't really been burned by them too often, but I could see why that element of randomness isn't preferred. But I like them. I like them a lot. I don't want to get rid of them. I think right now our roster composition is perfect. In my opinion,
12 team leagues are great, and I'm probably just salty, but I guess it is. Kickers are a necessary evil, I think, when it comes down to it.
Yeah, and so the last point I want to make about Morin's team is I think and this is somebody that I've been trying to target in trades, but I think it's time to cut him loose. I mean, I don't know if there's ever been a player with such a high pedigree that's become droppable midway through the year, like Allen Robinson. I mean, he's been hopeless this year.
Yeah.
He can't get anything going, so.
Him and Lockett both.
Yeah, I think this year I would say, you know, he's one of those guys where obviously he's probably not going to get dropped. But, I mean, his season high is 10, and he's been right around, like, averaging 7.3 points, and that's probably your second-round pick. I mean, there's probably somebody on the waiver wire every single week that you could pick up that's going to do better than Allen Robinson. And it's not even like you have to guess on who did Walsh have? Khalif Raymond. Like, there's probably somebody on the waiver wire every single week. And I wonder if, you know, Morin just has to kind of cut him loose, because in a case like this, that was the game. Allen Robinson, only 3 points. He's supposed to be your preferred or one of your better wide receivers. And to put up a point total like that, where that isn't that much of an outlier for him, that's tough. I think it might be time to cut him loose.
Yep. Agreed.
Okay. Next up, we have the BMI master himself, Jack Panagos, who fell to Big Trust Michael Howe.
Oof. I mean, Jameis, he still eked out 16 points, but that game was just – it was ugly. If you weren't a fan of – the Saints or the Seahawks watching that game last night, I can't imagine how unenjoyable that was as a fan. I mean, it was just a slop fest in that weather, nasty winds, just a total grit fest, but he still eked out 16. It was tough to have Herbert on a bye. Really just a tough week for Jack. I mean, I think he expressed some concerns to me about DJ Moore, just with the state of the Carolina Panthers kind of cooling off after that hot start. Miles Sanders getting injured is a difficult situation out in Philly, but he's got some adversity he needs to face, but I still do like his team, and it is it's a big win for Mike. I mean, no question about it. He continues to roll. He's in a good spot in the league. He actually expressed some trade interest, but Mike and I decided it was best to let things play out as they currently stand, but it's something we could revisit down the road potentially.
Yeah, do you remember what the trade was he made with Chris?
Oh my gosh, highway robbery.
Yeah, so he got Javonte Williams, Terry McLaurin, and who did he give up?
He gave up
Marquise Brown and...
Marquise Brown, Chris Carson, and Pollard.
Yeah, so that's pretty bad for Chris. And you look at those guys, 25 points from McLaurin, 17 out of Javonte Williams, who is still kind of in a timeshare with Melvin Gordon. But I would say as the season goes on, this might become more of the norm where he outscores him. So I applaud and, you know, I respect Chris making moves. But yeah, it seems like, you know, early signs are he lost that one. And then Mike's team is very good. I think he's got a really well-rounded team. I think with Mike's team, you could kind of depend on that, like, 120, 130 points a week, because there's not too many guys that are going to completely bust on his team. So he's in a really strong position, and I wouldn't be surprised if he if he stays neck and neck with Walsh. And Chris, I think at this point, definitely lost that trade. But respect to him for making it. And then what I was going to say about Jack's team is it, I mean, he's 4-3, which is a good record. So he's still got, he's still in a very good position to make the playoffs. I think he might be a little top heavy right now with Derrick Henry. He almost feels like one of those teams where it's almost like Texas A&M, the year that they had Johnny Manziel and they beat Alabama. Like, he had that huge upset over Billy, which was like Johnny Manziel's Alabama game. And he's just got this great, 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 great performance out of Mark Andrews. And he's got probably the guy that's going to be the number one overall pick next year, Derrick Henry. But you wonder if he's kind of had his signature moment and he's going to start tailing off.
Wow. I mean, I would hate to see that for Jack, but that would be quite the storyline to follow for sure.
Okay. Unless there's anything else you'd like to add, I think we could go to a fellow Rose, Pat McAfee's Pipe Breakers, and the Los Angeles fantasy team.
Just an explosive game here.
Yeah, wow. A lot of points. I think this might have been the highest point total of the week. Oh, yeah, definitely was.
Billy is starting to reap the benefits of Kyle Pitts coming into form. A.J. Brown surviving the food poisoning, starting to put up great numbers again. And we can't move on without talking about Cooper Kupp, who is just putting up insane video game numbers. 37 this week, and it's becoming routine. Like, you're not surprised to see that number, which is a scary, scary thought.
No, I mean, that's the type of scoreline that you would be happy with if you got once all year out of your top pick. And he's done it twice now, and then he's got another 30-point game and a 34-point game. I mean, he's absolutely incredible. Especially this year, it seems like he always had a good relationship with Goff, and I feel like he always was pretty good. And not even pretty good. I feel like in years past, he's been like a top five wide receiver in PPR. So I don't know where he was drafted this year, but that was probably also another one of the steals of the draft, this year. So I think, like you said, Kyle Pitts coming in to his own. I mean, he had 26 the bye and then 23. That's incredible output from your tight end, and that reflects where he was drafted in real life and where he was being drafted in fantasy. Mm-hmm. So I think Billy's is in a good position. I would say that his team probably looks better if it still has Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, honestly, this Christian McCaffrey stuff is a little worrisome because we saw the same thing. We saw the same thing last year where he had one of these niggling injuries and he played, what, like three games. So I hope for his sake that that's not the case this year. But I'm wondering if maybe he could have had that one back. Because who did he give up? Joe Mixon and Zeke?
Yeah, correct.
So, I mean, if McCaffrey comes back, then, you know, and plays the way we know he can, then it's probably a wash. Or maybe he does win the trade, especially because Justin Jefferson is there. But it's not like he really needs help at wide receiver right now when you look at what Kupp has been doing and will probably continue to do, and what A.J. Brown is hopefully going to start doing now that he's kind of gotten over his earlier season issues. And then for Lou, I mean, that's a tough one. That's a real tough one. I mean, 11 points out of Joe Mixon and George Kittle on the bench, still on IR. I mean, what's missing from that equation that he had a few weeks ago and got 33 points this week? It's a tough one. And I think, I mean, does he win the week if he has him? I don't know. I think O.J. Howard was a pretty tough 1 point to get. At this point, he has – I mean, I don't know. This trade, it's really making me think, because at this point, Lou's got three tight ends on his roster. Two of them are, you know, in a coma, and he's getting 1 point out of O.J. Howard. So I just don't know about that one. Unless George Kittle comes back off the IR and really kills it, then I think this could end up being a real, real lopsided trade. But I mean, Lou still did have 121 points, which is a good week. Ja'Marr Chase has been awesome. I think everybody was wrong about him going into the draft, saying that the real life draft, saying the Bengals reached, should have taken a lineman, and he looks awesome with Joe Burrow. I mean, that chemistry right. that they had at LSU has just come right back. So I don't think Lou's like in a terrible position. His team is still good. It's just I wonder if he's kind of missing that like marquee running back. And Lou did send out a message this week saying he's willing to trade one of his wide receivers for an RB1, which might be, you know, he could have had the RB1 and still traded one of those guys and maybe been in a better position. But
yeah, I mean, he had a tough bye with Keenan Allen out and having to throw in Tim Patrick. But Evan, what are your thoughts on Tim Patrick?
I mean, he's been, you know, probably one of the most talked about players in the league this year, which is shocking. You know, he's been offered to me a few times. I've given my thoughts on him, you know, more than once. And I think a few other people have as well. I don't think that he's really somebody I'm going to be looking at as an acquisition that will positively impact my team. But, you know, there's a home for everybody. I hope Tim Patrick can find a home. He doesn't seem to be wanted by his current team, doesn't seem to be wanted by any of the other teams in the league. So we'll see what happens with him. Do you have any thoughts on him?
I know he's been a chess piece that Lou has tried to play, and he's gotten little to no bite so far. But interesting player to follow. I don't think he's a bad player, but just got a funny name, honestly. Tim Patrick.
I mean, it's just like a funny. He's been good. Outside of 2 weeks, he has 13, 12, 14, 15, 13 points. I mean, that's like a very solid bench player fill-in flex. I mean, that's a good guy. It's just unfortunate timing for him to have 3 points after after he was being offered around. So, you know, I'm not going to pile on. I'm sure Tim's a great guy, just trying to have a career out in Denver. I would hate for him to tune into this podcast and start feeling down about himself. So
I think the way and the frequency that Lou has shopped him around has just made him into a meme. And Walsh is really good at doing that.
Yeah, he's almost like a pariah at this point, like a social pariah. Like Tim Pat, like, and he probably wakes up every morning, like every day, like looks in the mirror and like doesn't get why everybody's laughing at him, but they are.
Ugh.
It's a tough look. It's a tough look, but that's why they have sports psychologists and, you know, therapy. So, all right, moving on to the last matchup of the week, which was a low scoring affair and one that could be resulting in some scary dreams on the West Coast. And this was between West Coast, Best Coast, and Mr. Nightmare.
Oof. I mean, I think we'll discuss it later. 1-6. Not a good place. Not fun. EY's team right now, you hate to see. I mean, maybe a touch of homerism there, rolling out the Jets defense. You never want to see a negative.
I didn't know they had negative.
You never want to see a negative 11 points up there.
Oh my god! I don't. Has there ever been the defense that scored that like few points?
and it's an interesting dynamic to roll out Damian Harris versus the defense that you're starting. But I'm not one to judge here.
Oh my god!
But I just had a visitor walked in the room, intruder, one of the hosts from Overheard at the Ashford, who's eavesdropping at the moment. But we'll press on. EY, it's interesting, Evan. I want to put you on the hot seat here. If things proceed as they are, do you think the punishment will be completed by the West Coast representative?
That would be.
I hate to put you on the hot seat, but
it's tough. It's very tough to say. It is very, very, very tough to say. I know EY is somebody talking in the background.
Yeah, it's Ashford. Just some background noise.
Does he want to weigh in on this?
Dinner is ready whenever.
Was that the call for dinner?
Yeah, the Ashford host cooked tonight. So as soon as we wrap up here,
what's on the menu?
He did a little salmon. I think some Brussels and some brown rice. Nice healthy meal.
Oh, hey, ladies and gentlemen, Billy Rowe is not all looks.
Not all looks.
Cook as well. Okay. Well, yeah. So back to EY. Yeah, I mean, 1-6, that's a tough, tough position. And, you know, it's something he's probably thinking about, too, about this punishment, because it is a little bit of a commitment. You know, I want to say, EY, caring has been called into question for him in recent years. And I think he's done a good job of quelling and squashing those allegations. So I want to say that I do think EY would fulfill the punishment. And I do think that the punishment always has to be at Kelly's. I don't think we could really get away from our roots. I know some of the other people in this league have punishments in their other leagues that, you know, require somebody to fly to like a different state for whatever reasons. So I don't think it's, you know, that crazy of a punishment for specifically EY to have to do as well, because, you know, his family still lives in New Jersey. And I do think he comes back, you know, periodically, sporadically. And it's only one day at Kelly's. So, you know, a lot of people would kill for that opportunity. But yeah, I would say I have faith that he'd do it. I hope that for his sake, he doesn't have to worry about that logistically. But what are your thoughts? What do you think?
I agree. I think EY would find a way to do it. I think it is logistically challenging, but like you said, he does have family, and on the bright side, if whoever does come in last, I think what saved me, speaking from personal experience, is the fact that the league members, the culture we have in the KKC, you're going to have plenty of visitors throughout the day. And it actually ends up being fun in the long run. It is a long day, but it is very fun, hilarious memory. And I have faith that EY would do it. But at the same time, like you mentioned, I hope for his sake that it does not happen. But at the current state of his record, it's something that does have to be discussed for the betterment of the league.
Yeah, what's also going to be a very interesting dynamic as we age is, I mean, Kelly's at its core it's a regulars bar. You know, it's a gritty bar.
It's all good.
Yeah, exactly. But at night, it is a college bar. So, I mean, I think this should be the punishment, you know, for a while. And I do remember when we would go there at night in college, there would be older people there. But it will be an interesting dynamic when, as we age, you know, maybe in our like mid-30s, going back to Kelly's for one day. But like you said, there will always be support, and it does make it a fun experience. I mean, I remember when I was there last year, it was, you know, a ton of fun. I wasn't the one being punished, but it didn't feel like a punishment at a certain point. I didn't wake up as early as you did. But yeah, I mean, I think for EY, he's got, moving forward, he's got to, you know, do everything in his power to avoid this conversation with himself, about how he's going to, you know, spend almost 24 hours in Kelly's. I think his team isn't like that bad. I think team has a lot of potential. I mean, the Jets defense was, I mean, shocking, but I don't know really where he was going with that. But I mean, even on the other side, Jake had a rough week with -6 from his defense. So only a 5-point difference as opposed to, you know, what could have been like a 20-point difference, which was insane for defenses. What? But I mean, top to bottom, his team is still good. He's got points. He left some points on the bench. Maybe he's on a little bit borrowed time because he's, you know, making use of Devontae Booker, who's eventually going to fade into the background. But he was also – he had some bye issues. He had Najee Harris and CeeDee Lamb on byes, which is probably not great for him. So I think EY could pull himself out of this. What do you think?
I think he can as well. I think Julio Jones is a little bit of a concern to me in the wide receiver position. So I feel like if anything, he could want to potentially make a move for a stronger, maybe even just like a wide receiver 2 level player. And I think he does have the pieces to do that. I personally, myself, just being open and honest, I reached out inquiring about Michael Carter on the Jets, who's been getting some good volume of late, and EY was hesitant to that. But I think he does have the pieces to move some players for a great wide receiver, especially now, that he was a big beneficiary of the Philadelphia Eagles trade of Zach Ertz to the Cardinals. Now he has two startable wide receiver ones on his roster, and he could really make a great move with one of those players.
Yeah, he really did play that one perfectly. I don't know if he had, you know, some notion that one of them would be traded. I don't remember if that was really reported that was likely to happen over the course of this year. But yeah, you basically just you get two great tight ends who are kind of going to be the only mouth to feed tight end wise on their teams now, which for both of them hasn't been the case for Zach Ertz in a few years, and Goddard ever. So I mean, yeah, I think he could package one of them and, you know, somebody else, one of his other bench players, because he's got good players on the bench, for a good wide receiver, like maybe a team in some injury issues where they're waiting for a guy to come back, trade them Devontae Booker and one of the tight ends for one of the better wide receivers, just to get him over the hump. I mean, because at this point, every week matters. It's I'm not saying it's do or die, but it is getting to that point, especially with everybody so close, that it's you don't really have any chance to breathe or throw a game. And for Jake, I you know it's spooky season. You're not going to bet against Mr. Nightmare when the Halloween decorations are out.
Nope.
So I think that was, you know, to be expected. He lived up to his name here. I mean, once again, I mean, this is nuts. So he had 0 points at a Sony Michel and he won. So,
yep, that's a Joker's trick right there.
Yeah, there's definitely something in the air this year. Okay. All right.
Apologies for the technical difficulties tonight, but we continue to press forward. I think we have the matchups discussed, and I think it's a fitting transition to go into contender versus pretender.
Yeah, I think we could keep this. Wow. I think we could keep this, you know, just one word snippets. And then I think we also have another little fun comparison we'll be doing. Ryan, what order do you think you want to do these in? Do you want to do standings, reverse standings? Up to you.
I say we go, let's go 12-1, 11-2, and work our way up to the middle. Go back and forth.
Okay. All right, so I have the stand in front of me right now. So I think we could start with on the West Coast Pacific time. So we'll start with EY in the 12th spot.
Pretender, sadly.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's as bad as his record, but he's a pretender at this point. 1-6 is tough. Okay. Walsh?
Walsh, I think he's definitely contender at this point, unquestioned, unanimous.
The most slam dunk contender. And his playoff percentage is at 99%.
Yep.
EY's is at 3.
Oof.
Okay. Number 11, need momentum.
I'll let you take this one first.
I think he's a pretender.
I concur with that.
Yeah, he somehow has a lower percentage than EY to make the playoffs at 2%.
He needs running backs so bad.
Yeah, it's just so tough bad. Without him. And he's, I don't know. We already talked about it, but he needs some help. 2% isn't very promising. Okay, so we move back up the ladder, and we are at Big Trust. I think this is another slam dunk.
Yeah, I think you could. Mike's a contender, no doubt.
Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious. And he's you know actually right behind Walsh at 95%. So 5-2 is a strong record to have at this point. Okay.
All right. Now I think things get a little interesting. Now.
Yeah, this is where it gets. This is I think we just had you know the cupcakes at the beginning of the selection. I think this is the meat and potatoes. Okay, so now it's going to get a little scary, and we're going to number 10, Mr.
I think Jacob is a – I think he's a pretender.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's just where I stand, sadly.
Yeah, I think he's got – you know, he doesn't have too many points for – and he's got the lowest points against – And, you know, to find yourself in 10th with the lowest points against, that's not the best.
Nope.
So I agree with Pretender there. And Jake, I just want to say, true to his history, because I'm looking at the standings right now so I can see how many moves each team has done. Jake is clocking in at one move, one transaction for the entire year.
Oh, my.
So if there's one thing that Jake is never a pretender at, it is belief in his lineup.
Wow.
Okay. So now this is actually – so Jack is, you know, getting a little altitude sickness up here. He's at number three. What are our thoughts on our prince?
I think Jack will need to scheme something up at running back, but I still think he's a contender personally.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got a good core, especially Derrick Henry is, you know, slam dunk. He's been great this year. He could go off for 40 points at any point. I would say Jack at this stage is still a contender, and he's dealt with a lot of points against, actually. So for him to be that high shows that maybe he's had some bad luck. But, you know, third place with bad luck is a great, great place to be. So, okay. Moving down, Ryan, you know what? I'll take this one. I'll take the pressure off you. What do I say about you? I would say at this stage, 3 and 4, you're a contender. I think the move you made with Alvin Kamara was, you know, the police might be looking into that one on account of theft, but it was a great move, and I think it's really set your team up for a great, great second half. So yeah, I would say contender.
Thank you, very kind. And I think if you were to look on paper, without looking at rosters or anything, you would say this team is no doubt a pretender. I have the third lowest points against, and also the third lowest points for. And I'm still, my record is what it is, but I think I have an exciting future ahead. Hopefully health, as long as health cooperates, I'm excited to see what my team can do, but I guess I'll lean cautiously optimistic towards contender for now.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. And I will say, you know, just pointing out, true to your Saints fandom, you are 3-0 at home and 0-4 away. Harking back to those famous years of Drew Brees, 8-0 at home, 0-8 away.
Wow.
Okay. Going now to fourth, we land in Los Angeles with Lou.
Okay.
This is an interesting one.
I would, man. All right, let's see. Lou's a contender, I think. His team will only improve, I think, with health. And it's already good as it is, in my opinion.
Yeah, if he gets Kittle back, and Kittle is what he used to be, which at this point I think is a pretty low probability, but it is still a probability, then I would say Lou is definitely a contender. I would just say that, once again, if he still had Kamara, he's definitely a slam dunk contender because he's got two great, great wide receivers and one of the best running backs in the league, fantasy-wise and real-life-wise. So I'd say right now I still put Lou as a contender, but, you know, week to week that might change.
Tread lightly, Lou. Tread lightly.
Okay. And you know what? I will say Lou made that trade, trading away Kamara on his bye, and he beat me that week. So maybe I have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay. Now, speaking of me, it is myself, Airport Chili's. So Ryan, I'll let you answer this one, and I'll provide my own insight.
I think you are a no doubt contender because, one, obviously Josh Allen speaks for itself, but you've gotten two of the best value picks this year. Cordarrelle Patterson has been everything you could hope for and more. They're using him all over the field, and just like the ultimate utility player. Just he's got the ball in his hands all the time. And then Mike Gesicki has really turned into a nice piece at tight end. It really, and we would be remiss not to talk about DeAndre Swift as well, who is getting a ton of play for the Lions. Second ranked running back this year. So I feel like you've got really top down a very strong roster. And if Kadarius Toney can improve, he's basically the Giants. He can be the Giants' whole offense with the the injury riddled season that they've had.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even exaggerating when I say Kadarius Toney probably has the best chance of any player in the NFL to be talked about in the same breath as Jerry Rice at the end of his career. Because when you look at him play, it's just different. He has a type of vision that you really don't see. And if you look at his fantasy production, I mean, it's only been 3 games, but I'm excited. So honestly, of every player on my team, and I'm not even kidding about this part, of every player on my team, I'm really very excited to see what Kadarius Toney could do, because I mean, he could be like almost like a Tyreek Hill-esque player, obviously not maybe this year, but moving forward, I think he's pretty electric with the ball in his hands. They haven't had somebody like that since Odell. But for me, honestly, and my team, I think right now, as it stands with my record, I'm a contender because I'm there. But the wheels could come off. I mean, I have a lot of injuries. Kareem Hunt is on the IR. Saquon probably should have been IR'd. And I read something today that he might not be back until week 11. And at that point, I'm really cutting it close at running back. And outside of DK Metcalf, I haven't had too much consistency with my wide receivers. So
yep.
I would say kind of like what I said with Lou. Right now, I'm a contender, but you know, I'm one or two bad breaks away from being a pretender and, you know, seeing my season kind of go down the drain. But, okay. Next, we are going to go to B-Smith.
Let's take a look here. All right. Contender, no question about it.
Yeah.
No question. His team is really good.
The biggest, I mean, there's a lot of guys that could come on and be like quote unquote league winners. But I mean, Michael Thomas sitting there on his bench is pretty much the definition of it. I mean, he drafted him with this in mind. And so for B. Smith to be 4-3 with probably, you know, a top 10 wide receiver when healthy and not tweeting on his bench is pretty awesome. So I would say, yeah, B. Smith is a contender, and he could be more than that depending on how Michael Thomas comes in. Cause he's one of those guys that, you know, in a healthy year coming off of a year that he's had in the past, like when he broke the record, he was like the 3rd overall pick. So
yeah, B. Smith could be a dark horse, a sleeper pick at this point, at this stage in the season, just based off of what you talked about with Michael Thomas, the ultimate Joker card.
Okay, so I think it seems like we have a lot of contenders right now. So hopefully that'll change with our 7th ranked team, Billy Rose. I mean, honestly, I think he's still a contender.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think it's great. If we have a lot of contenders in this league, I think that is a great thing. Just the parity, it'll be unpredictable. But to speak specifically on Billy's roster, he really needs McCaffrey to get healthy. But outside of that, his skill position players are very strong, and obviously Aaron Rodgers is always going to be pretty steady hand. So he's got a good thing going.
Wide receivers are probably second to none in the league, especially if AJ Brown really, really kicks it off and gets to where, you know, he's alluding to going. And then if you put Christian McCaffrey into that equation, it's pretty awesome. So I would say, yeah, Billy's a contender, and he's also been pretty victimized. You know, 929 points against is a lot. So I don't fault him for, you know, having a 3-4 record. And he was also victim to that incredible performance by Mark Andrews, where, you know, 99 times out of 100 he wins that game. He's 4-3 and he's the one in third place. So I would say Billy's a strong contender still.
Yep.
And last but not least is the gang shit that's all we on, Matt Morin. Let's see what Matt Morin is. I think he might be a pretender.
That's the direction I was leaning as well. He had some bad draft luck, and I think it's really impacted his team with Allen Robinson and also Brandon Ayuk. Both those guys have not panned out to the preseason hype.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? it's also, this is going to be really interesting to see, is that I don't think there's been like a bigger like dichotomy between a fantasy performance like year to date and real life performance year to date. Cause like I'm pretty sure I was reading things that said that Jalen Hurts might get benched soon. That he, you know, how much longer can they keep playing him? Cause he's, you know, they're not even coming close to winning games, but he's just getting, you know, such garbage time production, that he's the number two overall quarterback in the league, or in fantasy. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's a source of points that due to real life football might dry up, which would be crazy. And then outside of that, I mean, Jonathan Taylor has been having a good year. Mm-hmm. It looks like a really good year, but I just don't know. I don't really see it. I think like Mike Evans has been solid, but I think inconsistent, where he's had some games that, you know, might lose you a week. He's only had two, but I still think that I stand by more and as a pretender. I mean, Jalen Hurts has been great. Jones, Taylor, Mike Evans, but then outside of that, I really don't see too much talent. And then, you know, if one of those guys goes down, it's going to be, you know, tough going. So,
well, that wraps up this little segment called Contender versus Pretender. And now we get into something a little bit more outside the box, something we have never done before. We will have a draft between Evan and I. We'll be selecting teams, managers in the league specifically, and comparing them to fast food, quick serve chains in the United States.
Okay, so could we do so? What do it like? We'll say I'll say like a team. I'll draft the team, and then I'll say, okay, they are
correct.
Restaurant. Okay, so we're not going in any specific order.
No specific order, and you got the first pick.
Wow, extremely gracious of you. I will go first, and I will pick, I will choose Los Angeles fantasy team, and he is In-N-Out Burger.
Wow.
You know, just, you know, the classic quintessential California chain, the quintessential California guy, Lou. I think the two encompass what each other hopes to project. So in that case, I choose Lou, and he is In-N-Out.
That's a great first pick. With the second selection in the KKC food draft, I picked Jacob Stockel, and Jacob Stockel is Taco Bell. Taco Bell is basically the wild card of fast food. You'll go there on a late night and just get food that tastes incredible. But you can also have some moments where there's something you might get that is also could be very bad. I think Jake has proved over the course of his KKC career to put up monster games, upwards of 180, 190 points, but then also turn around the next week, put up 76. And I think that's kind of the life you live if you're going to Taco Bell at a regular rate. So I think Jake is Taco Bell.
Yeah, and I'm sure some people have been visited by Mr. Nightmare following a Taco Bell experience. So I think that's an apt comparison. Okay. Next, we have I will choose Billy.
Oh.
And for – I would give him – Popeyes.
Okay.
So I'm actually going with a real life comparison here because I think, you know, Popeyes has been synonymous with Rose family gatherings I've come to find, or at least maybe some sporting event viewings, where Popeyes is usually the dish served. And I've been lucky enough to have experienced a few of those, and it's always been, you know, a great, great time. And I definitely associate Popeyes with Billy and with the Roses. And, you know, Popeyes is consistent. It's a very consistent meal when you get it. It tastes good, but it's never been, you know, able to really, I don't think, eclipse Chick-fil-A in terms of national prominence. And, you know, maybe that's a little bit of a simile or metaphor for Billy's experience in the KKC, where, you know, he's always been a consistent performer, producer, a very consistent personality in the league. but has not yet gained that national recognition that a championship brings. So,
well, that's a great pick. I was going to pick Billy with my second pick, but I'll need to go back to the drawing board. But that was an awesome comparison. Oof. I think, oh man, wow, this is tricky here. I'll pick Matt Walsh. And for Matt Walsh, I will do Portillo's, which is a Chicago chain that's known for its dipped beef. The dipped beef. Only because Walsh reps his city very strong. They're a staple in the city of Chicago. Everyone loves a good dipped beef. And I think he wears that Chicago pride. He always did in New Jersey. And I think he always reps the city to the utmost. And I think that's why I'm selecting Portillo's for Matthew Walsh.
I've never, you know, had the experience of visiting that establishment, but I'm sure, you know, anything Chicago is great. And Walsh is definitely Chicago. So with the next pick, I will go with Jack. And I am going to select Panda Express.
Wow.
So, you know, Panda Express is definitely known for their bigger portions, and Jack is definitely a bigger portion human. But outside of the physical comparisons, I would say that, you know, sometimes I've gone to Panda Express, and like everybody, I get the plate to go. And typically with the plate to go, they give you a lot of food. And a lot of times it's, is this too much food? Did I need to have all this food? And I think for Jack and, you know, his fantasy experiences, he's maybe made too many moves. Did he need to make all these moves? Would his team have been better if he didn't make that trade, or if he didn't, you know, ship out a player for one bad week? And, you know, they're both great establishments, a great franchise, great football mind. And I go to Panda Express a lot still. But, you know, there's always that one time you go and you're like, did I do too much? And I think that rings true for Jack's past seasons in the league.
That's incredible. I love it. All right. Next pick. I'm going to pick Michael Howe, and I'm going with McDonald's for Mike.
Wow.
Say what you want about McDonald's, but they are the top. They are arguably the top fast food chain. Whether you would throw Chick-fil-A or Wendy's in there, I think if you look at the overall leaderboard of fast food establishments, you can't help but put McDonald's as number one. They are the golden arches, and I think Mike for the KKC is almost the golden standard with his model of consistency. So that's how I thought of Mike in this comparison, and that's what I'm going with for McDonald's.
And you know, McDonald's is also very known for, obviously, their dollar menu and their ability to provide something of value for very cheap. And Mike is obviously the king of the RB handcuff.
Wow.
I think he prides himself on finding these hidden gem or diamonds in the rough that he gets for basically nothing and become fantasy contributors. So I think that was a great, great, great pick by you, Ryan.
That's next level, Evan. Thank you for that insight. Incredible.
Okay. So I'm going to choose, here, I would say, can I choose myself?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to draft myself, and I'm going to select Chipotle.
Wow. And
here's why. You know, Chipotle came onto the scene, and they kind of took, like, the fast casual, fast food dining experience, you know, to the stratosphere. And I would say that's kind of similar to my early experiences in the KKC, where I had those two championships and three finals appearances in 4 years. And that was, you know, I kind of took the league by storm. And then since then, and, you know, maybe since the E. coli incident at Chipotle, it has not really been the best going. So Chipotle took a huge hit, and I did as well. I missed the playoffs 1 year. And that was a big, big hit to my ego. I had to look back, reflect, you know, I'm sure Chipotle had to do the same, you know, discover how they're washing their vegetables and, you know, are they really doing their due diligence? And I had to look in the mirror. And I'm hoping to, as Chipotle did, get back to those heights. If you look at their stock price, they've pretty much fully recovered from those incidents all those years ago. But it wasn't without some serious self-reflection. And, you know, that's something I was willing to do. And I'm hopeful to get back to the heights that I once was at, just like Chipotle did.
I love that comparison. I think Chipotle, I think out of the quick serve restaurants, they're unquestionably the top dog. And Evan is, you can't question his track record in the KKC. So I think that's a fitting and apt comparison for yourself, Evan. Nicely done.
Thank you.
I'm going to go Chris with the next pick. I'll pick Chris, and I'll go Five Guys. I think when you go to Five Guys, you go big or you go home. You don't walk in there or order a single patty and then walk out.
That's 100%.
People don't do that. Chris came into the KKC last year, and he won. He took the league by storm. He ordered the double patty. He got a side of fries, and then he got a bacon shake on top of that and walked out of here with a W. But this year, Chris is just deciding almost not to show up. He didn't even walk into the Five Guys. He said, I don't need the patties this year. I'm gonna go on a diet. And it's reflecting in his record. So Chris, for me, he's Five Guys.
Yeah, I think he had that majestic, beautiful Five Guys order last year. And this year it seems like he's kind of just going in and eating the peanuts off the floor or something. It's a tough scene. But, you know, Five Guys is still good. And I'm sure that, you know, you go to Five Guys once, not that great. But you go there the next time, one of the best meals of your life. So maybe for Chris, this is just one of those meh years, one of those meh times. And I think that was a good pick.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have left.
EY, Morin, B. Smith. We cut them up. B. Smith and
you.
Oh, and me.
Okay. Poof. I would say. All right. I would say Morin. I'm going to choose as Burger King. So I would say Morin as Burger King. You know, they're probably, there's the three pillars of fast food, Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King, at least in my mind, not necessarily in that order. But in my mind, those are kind of the big three. They've been around for a very long time. They're everywhere. You know, they're very similar. And I would say that Morin has been up there in the league many times.
Yes.
He's, you know, Burger King's not going anywhere. Morin's not going anywhere. I don't think there'll be too many seasons where he'll be in danger of a last place finish. He's always right around the middle of the pack, you know, could go on a run. And he always has his, what I like to call, chicken fry weeks, where he'll, you know, have a flash in the pan, great idea like the chicken fries were, and get 160 points, 165 points. He's been known to do that. And I think for him, His challenge is going to be getting over the Wendy's and the McDonald's of the leagues and rise above just being the Burger King, and that's something that we'll see if it's able to happen in the league. You know, it hasn't happened for Burger King yet, but you know, a lot of people eat fast food. So
now I have heard Burger King's new item, the ghost pepper chicken nuggets, are actually quite a nice snack, so just something to keep in mind for the league.
Yeah, something to watch.
Something to watch. I'll draft myself here. I was thinking about this for a little bit, and I think I'll go with Auntie Anne's for my team. Now, Auntie Anne's, it's not something you always see. It's you don't drive down the highway and see an Auntie Anne's on the side of the road, but if I'm walking through an airport or a mall, if I walk by an Auntie Anne's, I'm probably going to get it. And I think that's somehow relates back to my track record in the league. I think I haven't had too many middle of the pack finishes. I either am competing or I'm down towards the bottom. And I think it's just, if you see an Auntie Anne's, you're going to get it. And if I feel like I'm in the mix, I'm going to be pretty close. But if not, I gotta watch myself, because it could get pretty dark. So I'm Auntie Anne's.
That's a good one. I think, yeah, I'm always excited to have Auntie Anne's, and I think Auntie Anne's could be a a great, great experience when you're in the mall. And, you know, they've been known to steal some of my money at points when I wasn't expecting to stop to get a cinnamon pretzel, and I did anyway. I think some members of the league might look back at their trades and wonder where their pretzel went. But, but yeah, I think that's a good comparison. Next, I will go – EY hasn't been chosen, right?
Nope.
Okay, I'm going to choose EY, and I am going to give him friendlies.
Mm.
And I don't know if we're, you know, graying the borders of fast food, but I would still say, you know, it's pretty fast. It's not like a long dinner. And there's takeout and everything. And for me, friendlies was, you know, a great place that I used to go as a little kid. Go there with me. And friendlies were everywhere. And it was, you know, a big influence on my life was friendlies. And, you know, obviously EY used to be the commissioner of this league. And that was handed off. And there were some questions, you know, about does he care? And for friendlies, you know, I drive by some of these friendlies and, you know, they're run down. And, you know, it looks like, you know, they just need a little, like, you know, love and affection, you know, just bring them back up to their past glory. Because, you know, everybody knows who where friendlies are, what friendlies is. It's a common household brand. But there is one friendlies in Metuchen, actually, that does very good business. And, you know, it's that little glimmer of hope that we all know exists inside of friendlies and exists inside of EY, where we know he cares. He cares. You know, he hasn't really been at the top of the chain. Friendlies hasn't been at the top of the national food pyramid in quite a while. But, you know, both of them have that little thing holding them. You know, Friendlies has ice cream. EY has his history in the league where you never know. Maybe they could get back up over there. And you doubt it. You question it. But, you know, there's that Wendy's or that Friendlies in Metuchen that, you know, they care. And I think EY, you know, someplace in there, someplace in California, he definitely cares.
That, I think that personifies EY. And I think he'll appreciate that comparison. Nicely done, Evan.
Thanks.
So with the final pick of the fast food draft, I'll go with Sonic for Brendan Smith.
Wow.
I think people don't quite realize the operation that goes on at Sonic, just the overall infrastructure of that fast food just hierarchy. It's a extremely successful, long-standing fast food organization with great history. And I think B. Smith is building that type of resume in the KKC. I think he's always competed. He's due. I know he had a tough year last year. Him and I were duking it out for last place. But after that, I think he's been fairly successful for the most part. And I think people will come to respect Sonic and not always just drive by because they have great food to offer. So I think B. Smith is Sonic.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, you really never do think about what goes on behind the scenes of a Sonic. Do they still come out on rollerblades?
They do.
Wow. So, I mean, that's kind of like those hidden skills that you would never guess, you know, what's underneath the hood. And obviously, B. Smith with his Air Force pedigree. I mean, there's something in there that you don't always see. I was trying to think of like air-related fast food chains. And the only one I could think of is Blimpies. Because I think there's like a blimp as the logo, but I've never been to Blimpies, so.
I think Subway might have put them out of business. I haven't seen a Blimpie in years.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not really too many Sub places in general. I guess there's
Quiznos died.
Yeah, Quiznos is gone. What's the Potbelly is one that I think is still around, but that's kind of like a more niche. Yeah. I mean, Subway like kind of killed everything. You know, that's interesting. There was no Subway draft pick. I don't think there was a Wendy's. There was no Wawa, if you want to count that. I don't know if there were any others that we not missed, but chose not to do. So I think that was good. That was a good one.
It was fun segment, and I think a fitting place to leave off for the fourth episode this year. Thank you guys for listening. Drop a Joker card in the group me if you make it to this point in the episode, and thank you for your partnership and your loyalty to the podcast. Good night.